Brothers and sisters, our first scripture lesson comes from Psalm 36. Psalm 36, 5 through 10 on page 874 in your pew Bible. Hear the word of the Lord. Your steadfast love, O Lord, extends to the heavens, your faithfulness to the clouds. Your righteousness is like the mighty mountains. Your judgments are like the great deep. You save humans and animals alike, O Lord. How precious is your steadfast love, O God. All people may take refuge in the shadow of your wings. They feast on the abundance of your house. And you give them drink from the river of your delights. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light, we see light. O continue your steadfast love to those who know you, and your salvation to the upright of heart. Our second scripture lesson comes from the book of Corinthians. Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 10, 1 through 11. And that is on Pew Bible page 1785. Brothers and sisters, hear the word of our Lord. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were enticed and led astray to idols that could not speak. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking by the Spirit of God ever says, "Let Jesus be cursed." And no one can say, "Jesus is Lord," except by the Holy Spirit. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discernment of spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are activated by one and the same Spirit, who allots to each one individually, just as the Spirit chooses. Brothers and sisters, this is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you. We thank you for the gifts that you have blessed us with, for the many ways you have called us and called on us to serve your church now, in the future, and in the past. We ask, Lord, that you would guide us and lead us, help us to listen to how you are leading us this day and all the days coming forward. Be with us as we seek to do your will in our lives and in every way you are calling. In your name we pray. Amen. When somebody says, "Let me set the record straight," that either means that something has gone wrong, there's been some confusion, something has or has not happened, or that rumors abound. And often enough, when Paul or the writers of the epistles write a letter, it's because something has happened. They're not usually writing these letters because everything's going great, everything's shining brightly, everything's going well. Usually, the letters happen because people are having problems either in the community or from outside the community going in. Paul writes, not because everything is great, but because things are not good. We've seen moments often play out in our daily life where things happen, where we need clarification. Paul is dealing with problems not only that we've had to deal with, but also dealing with the depth of issues, because all of these churches he writes to still have that new church smell. And if you can identify that new church smell, I think it's something like wine and juice and those wafers and new carpet, maybe. The fact is, the church is not having an easy go of it. The church is going through hard times. They're being pushed on and they're trying to push outward. They're trying to grow, to spread the message of Christ throughout the world. And people are not always receptive to that message. They're not only just attacking the church, but they're attacking Jesus. After all, remember, he didn't exactly die a martyr's death traditionally. He died on the cross between two criminals. The fact is, in dealing with this, in organizing and building the church, threats abound both inside the church and outside. And yes, Paul seeks to assure the people, to assure them as to how to tell that God's Spirit is in and moving in their community. There will be false leaders, false Christs, false prophets that will come and attack Christ and try and take advantage of this new movement for their own benefit. There are those whose own lives and worlds feel threatened by the message of Christ. And so they are going to attack. And so Paul gives them a litmus test, a test to gauge where the body of Christ is, how it is, who is Christ in this world, how to tell when someone is following Christ. It's a pretty simple test when you boil everything down. It's not like the Regents, SAT, ACT, or classes exams, even though all of those seem to have gotten a lot easier for kids now that I'm getting older. But isn't that always the way, right? The real test here is to affirm and believe that Jesus is Lord. That statement that affirms and shows that God's Spirit is within you, that you affirm who God is in your life. But it doesn't just exist in words. It exists in your actions, in your movements, in what you do and how you do. It shows that you affirm that Jesus is Lord by how you act, how you serve. It's always moving through you, that Spirit. It sets you apart. That's the litmus test we're dealing with. But with that litmus test and that presence of the Spirit, there comes difficulties. There comes the various questions of how God is using you, how that Spirit is leading you and guiding you and keeping you, how that Spirit is at times pushing you to do things. The epistle writer writes about this not because it's a great topic, but because it's a necessary one. It's one of those things that the dysfunction has caused, the infighting has caused. the issues of false self that is in us has caused this topic to be brought to the fore. It's one of those things that you think about it, and there are items in our lives that bring us no joy to have to deal with. It's like when sports writers write about how dysfunctional the Bears, Jets, and Giants are. You think they enjoy that? They'd rather be writing about the Jets, Bears, Giants winning a Super Bowl and how great the coach is. They don't want to write about how terrible the team is and how Matt Nagy destroyed Mitch Trubisky. But that's neither here nor there. The fact is, the writer writes because of the reality within us, the reality of pushing and pulling within us. You see, the issue is always us, that our gifts are not what others' gifts are. Those ways God has blessed us and called us and led us are not what is there for others. We had this moment, Liam and I did, where he was lamenting how he wasn't able to do something. He wasn't very good at dribbling a basketball. And I said, Liam, you got two choices. You can try harder to dribble, or you can accept that you are how God has blessed you to be, and maybe you're not going to be the best dribbler and play point guard. But there are other parts of playing basketball that you can take part in. There are other ways that you are gifted and blessed. You're great on defense. You're a pest on defense. That's great. He got a smirk on his face and he smiled. Yeah, I can be really annoying if I want to be. The fact is, God has blessed us and fashioned us differently. And it's hard as we serve God to not reach for something that we're not. It's hard because there are certain aspects of those gifts we read in Scripture that just shine really brightly. There's this gift called the speaking of tongues. And if somebody has it, it's this great showy gift they've been blessed with. Everybody sees it and admires it. But it doesn't stand separately or any brighter does it shine than the person who day in and day out serves God in small little ways. The gifts we have been given are the gifts we have been given. I remember many, many years ago, a couple of really hard conversations I had to have or had to be had with me. Everybody wants to be a pitcher in Little League. Everybody. And I had been badgering my coach nonstop, Mr. McCreary, all 6'5" of him. Coach, can I pitch this week? Come on, let me pitch. Just let me show you what I can do, coach. Not this week, Bill. Not this week. At practice. Come on, coach. Just let me throw it. I'll show you how good my arm is. Not this week, Bill. And then finally, he took me aside and he said, Bill, I know you want to pitch. And I know you've been bugging me since last season to pitch. But you don't have it. You don't have it. You could hear my dreams of pitching for the Cubs suddenly shatter. Even if I didn't have it, I could probably have pitched for the Cubs, though. But then Mr. McCreary said to me, you've got a great glove. You're out of your crouch really fast. No ball gets by you. You're one of the better catchers I've seen. Why would I have you pitch? And so I had to accept in third grade that I wasn't going to be the next Greg Maddux. But I could catch. I had to accept that what I wanted was not how I was gifted. but I was gifted differently. There was a harder conversation when I was playing football in the yard with my brother. And I was like, yeah, I think I could make quarterback. Grandpa pulled in. Zen going for coffee with mom. You're too slow and you don't have the arm. Stick to the line. And then he goes in. Not the most comforting of phrases, but sometimes we need to understand that who we are, how we are gifted, is not necessarily what we want. It's not necessarily the gifts that we've been given. Some of the gifts are great for the service of God's kingdom. They're out in the public eye and everyone sees them. But nobody really sees that little old lady who prays for an hour a day for everyone she meets, everyone she's ever met, and everyone she knows who's suffering. Sure, nobody sees that. That's a gift from God. Think about this, that great verse, number 7. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To each one of us, the Spirit has been given. That is where our gifts and abilities come from. That is where we pay it back and give it back to God. We need to accept that maybe we're not going to be a pitcher. Maybe we're not set up to be a striker if you follow football. Maybe we're supposed to be a midfielder. Maybe we're not the brass section or the bass section. The fact is, all of us have been gifted and given gifts by God. And it's up to us to accept them and use them as much as we can. In simple ways, in little ways, and maybe in showy ways as well. But we should use them and always celebrate all of them. All of them. Amen. Brothers and sisters, just a reminder, we are setting the offering